This is Tatiana Katara. You're listening to WDRT Viroqua 91.9 FM, and I'm in the studio with my friend Gail O'Meara Nielsen, and this is the Conversations show. I'm your host, Tatiana Katara. I think I might have said that already. I'm not exactly on my game today as I usually am, but Gail is a certified hypnotherapist, a matrix energetics practitioner. She is a forever student of the mind and science and the combination of those things. What would you like to add to that, Gail?
That's always a really hard one. I think about that when I try and market myself. Intuitive energetics is a term that I've come up with that seems to fit really well. It ties in the thought processes, the consciousness, and the changes, not just in physical body, but physical reality. Mm-hmm. All of those things. It's the interface between our consciousness and what appears to be our reality.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, I love that stuff.
It's good stuff.
I grew up with that. My grandfather was really into, he was like a really curious, skeptical believer in the metaphysical. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to see proof. And so he would invite swamis and spoonbenders and all these different people, psychics and stuff, and then have people come into the living room. And so I was like 9 years old, surrounded by interesting things like that.
What a cool thing.
Very cool.
That is very cool. I envy that experience.
Well, I didn't believe in everything either, so I was skeptical as well, but because I saw the fraudulent aspect of that. And if you're in this world at all among the people who work and live and profit from it, there's a lot of that to be seen.
Yeah, I think whenever we think about power over people and money is power, then that takes us away from the core of what who we really are and the potential that we have. Believing is seeing. You know, I really don't need to see something anymore to believe it. Mm-hmm. But if I experience it, for me, that's it. It resonates with me. I think we all have this great intuition, our gut instinct, that gets us out of our head, gets us into the heart, and that's where truth is. Mm-hmm. It's whatever truth that is to be found in what we resonate with and what we just have a knowing to be true for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think more than ever now, when it seems that our world is and the people in it and of it are trying to tell other people what they should be doing, and everyone has this internal, intuitive, deep sense of what's right for them or not. And we can all think back to a time when we thought, oh, I should do that, and then neglected to do it and suffered the consequences of it and just were like, I knew I should have done that or should not have done that. And so, you know, I would love to see everybody get back in touch with honoring each other's personal will and freedom and respect that, because we are completely different. We all have a different recipe that we need for life.
Yeah, and we can look at the same thing and have different 100 different experiences with 100 different people.
Yeah.
And we are the only ones that know what's right for us.
Right.
And if we listen to it, like you said, sometimes our detours around that can take years, decades, a lifetime. I remember thinking this very many times through my life. It's like, okay, my head says this is what I'm going to do logically. This is the path I'm going to take. Mm-hmm. And I did. And then it becomes very apparent after a while, at least it did to me, that it was just a soul-numbing thing.
Yeah.
And I had this really visceral experience one day of, and this was probably, I don't know, 25 years ago, 20 years ago, something like that, when I was in the midst of my corporate workings and being so distanced from myself that I was working at the computer, and I just looked up and I said, I need to change. I said, I yelled it in the room. I was by myself. And I just said, I need this to stop. I need to move on to the next stage of who I truly am. And I said, I don't care what it takes. I want it now. And I want it right now. And I want it the fastest way possible. And then my life fell apart.
Yeah, you have to be careful about that, right?
I got exactly what I asked for, but I am so happy that things fell apart because that brings me to here, to now. Which is a much better place.
Right. Yeah, and it takes a lot of courage and bravery and trust in the universe to let your life fall apart or dismantle your life in order to have a new one.
Yeah, that's where the faith part comes in, I guess. I needed to think there was something on the other side of that. Just being so miserable, it's like hit bottom and then say, okay, there's nowhere to go but up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but to trust that there is an up to go to. Yeah.
There's always an up.
There always is
an up. It's always there. It's just which direction are you going, really? You
know? That's right. If you're upside down, it weighs up.
Yeah,
but it's a fun journey though. I mean, like you were talking about your grandpa, curious. I'm always just curious, you know. And I just sometimes I just ask myself the question. It's like a light bulb goes on, and I'll just say, "Well, what about that?" And I remember every time I've switched course, I'm like, "You know what? I'm doing this. I don't have to do this. I don't. Nobody's making me do this. I have a choice." And boom. As soon as that thought was in my head, all this expanse of stuff just opened up. And I'm like, I can do that. There's no reason I can't.
Right.
And what fun.
You can quit anytime.
Yeah. You just ask questions and explore and just, I think it's about having fun.
Yeah.
I think that's what gets us to trust our intuition. It's like it's a game. Play it like it's a game.
Well, it kind of is a game.
It is a game. That really is what it is.
It is. It's interesting because you probably wouldn't think of me as a gamer, and I never would have either. But I love acting, so I've been role-playing in a server with a lot of other people in this. It's kind of a Wild West game.
Oh, cool.
It's called Red Dead Redemption, which sounds horrible. But and so, yeah, so I live stream to Twitch, and I'm...
Oh, that's funny.
It's really funny. I'm on my way to, like, I'm almost an affiliate, so I could make money.
Oh, my gosh. Good for you.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, but I think a lot about it. Like, you fall off a cliff and you die and you respawn. And I just compare that a lot to life. Like, really, you know, sometimes if the server's going to restart, everybody's like, oh, I have to go to bed because they're restarting the server. And I'll be like, I'm going to go jump off a cliff or, you know, because I know that I'm not really dying. And the only difference I really see between that life and this one is the suffering and the pain. Like, in that life, I can take risks, and I can, it's beautiful, there's scenery, and I get on my horse, and I ride across the mountains, and I fish, and I hunt, and, you know, do stuff I would never do in this life, other than riding a horse. But there's this, like, I'm the oversoul of myself, and my being that I present to these other people, they don't know that I'm, you know, a 52-year-old person, and their age, like, we're all ageless in this game. And then I think, oh, you know, we just put the age on our body, but our souls are, like, you know, I know really old babies and really young masters. And so gaming has done this thing that really has allowed me to open up my perception about the world I'm actually in.
I like that.
That's fun.
I used to, before the online role-playing games so much, we used to play Dungeons & Dragons. Mm-hmm. We had a group that got together. And I love that.
Yeah.
I love that because I like to live in my imagination. And then it is kind of like real life in so many ways. And I know there was, issues with the D&D where people, kids were playing it, and then they took it out into the real world and, you know, got into trouble that way sometimes.
But they became dragons.
Yeah, like maybe go at midnight in some dark tunnel somewhere under somewhere to play the game. It's like, yeah, that's not always the best choice to make. But yeah, that kind of reminds me of a movie that my husband and I were watching last night called The Wave. And it was a very reality bending kind of movie. It was like he thought he took a drug, but the experiences he was having were in real life. It was like he was tripping, but he was in his real world. And then time travel was a thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to give any spoilers in case people want to watch it because it's on Netflix. But it was. It was like, oh my gosh, it got to the end and I loved it because I didn't see it coming.
Oh, cool.
And I love it when they can do that. Yeah. And, you know, it had a moral to it. It had a, you know, this guy journey. It saved his life. He wasn't living the life that he could have.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the way that all changed for him in very interesting ways. And it's how... I can relate that in real life. When I look at a clock, it's like, what does that mean? And, well, what if it wasn't that way? Or have you ever played the quarter game? Robert Anton Wilson had brought up the quarter game.
Okay.
And it's a game in real life. Mm-hmm. But what it does is, whether we talk about our reticular activating system, which is a part of the brain that tunes into certain things, it's like filters everything out but the one thing we're looking for.
Okay.
It's almost like if you buy a Minolta camera,
mm-hmm.
And then you walk out and you see ads for Minolta everywhere and a case for Minolta. Everything you see is Minolta.
Mm-hmm.
Well, was that there before, too? Or were you just noticing it because you just got a Minolta and you're tuned in?
Yeah.
Well, the quarter game is that you just tell yourself that you're going to find a quarter anywhere, but it's going to be specifically placed there just for you. Obviously, you will know it.
Uh-huh.
And wherever it is, as many quarters as you can find, and you don't look for them. They just show up in the weirdest places.
Okay.
And you'll find that, you know, you just tune your consciousness to that, and you'll go out and you'll find quarters everywhere.
I would probably up it to the $20 game, but...
Well, and see, that's part of why it stays at quarter, is because especially when we talk about money, $20 is more meaningful to us than a quarter. A quarter is just nothing. Mm-hmm. It's meaningless. 20, then you're starting to talk real money. And then we get in our own way, and we go, there's part of our consciousness that says, nah, I'm never going to find that, you know?
Okay.
Or, you know, then the part that says... maybe that we don't deserve the money or that money has to be earned and not found. All of those things come in.
Okay.
And then they block you from really just having the fun experience, meaningless experience of finding a quarter.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's cool. I like
it that. Is, and it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, that's our reality, how we change it, very simply.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Just believing in it and... seeing it and letting it go, right?
And letting it
so
go.
Easy.
Like
really.
An arrow. Letting the arrow go. It can't do its thing until you release
it. It's so funny because there are people like, why can't I find my man, my person, you know? And it's like, because you keep looking, you know? Stop looking. It's like the Murphy's Law.
Exactly.
And then they'll be like, well, I haven't had a boyfriend in so many years. And it's like, yeah, but you haven't stopped looking because you're talking about it right now. Like,
yeah.
Stop talking about it.
You're focusing
on
the lack of it,
which
means you will have more lack of it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Or when people come in to see me for a session. Mm-hmm. And this is just universal. I cannot think of an exception to this, really, where somebody has come in and I ask them what they want, and they immediately tell me what they don't want.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to feel pain. Yeah. I don't want to smoke anymore. I don't want to. No. I asked you what you do want.
Yeah.
Big difference.
Mm-hmm.
That's everything in that question right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And also being in a receptive state when thinking about things, I think, is a real key. Like receptive states being opening, open states, like even just, oh, I really love that sweater. Oh, thank you, is receptive. Versus this old thing, oh, yeah.
You right. Know.
Or thank you. Gratitude is one of the most receptive states, I think, and also just appreciation of beauty. And I love the story, and maybe I mentioned it before, about the flower doesn't have to feel worthy to be pollinated. It just has to be open to it, open being receptive. It doesn't matter if its petal is broken, the bee will still come. You know, it doesn't matter if it's not the prettiest flower in the field, the bee, as long as it's open, it's going to get pollinated. And so a lot of times, like when I would start out a workshop with people, I would go, okay, let's think of receptive states. What are some? And then start writing them down. They yell them out, and I'll write them down. You know, happiness, gratitude, joy, pleasure, creativity, fun, humor. And all of those are positive receptive states.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go into brainstorming from there, which we opened it up. And then we are allowing, we changed our energy just by saying those things. And then it allows for the new to come for that, whichever what we want to create.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Just anything that brings joy, dancing,
yeah,
just listening to music. The gratitude piece is so strong.
Yeah.
To just think that we get to get up every day.
Mm-hmm.
And people go, oh, I got to get up. No, you get to get up.
Right.
And it's wonderful what nature and the divine has put here for us.
Mm-hmm.
And to just appreciate that and just be and not think we have to be doing something all the time.
I know.
You know, we just, why can't we just be who we are?
Yeah. I think that was one of the blessings that happened when everything got locked down, was that people who have spent 40, 50, however many years of their life grinding every day and judging others who sat around and just, you know, appreciated being in this creation that we're in, that they had to do that. They had to sit still and stay home and figure out what to do. And then out of that came amazing, wonderful, beautiful changes for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one way or the other, right?
Yeah.
Some people aren't comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some challenges, and
that's
still
true,
are.
Too.
Because some people are just, they're not okay with being alone, and they're not okay with being still.
Yeah.
And that can be very difficult. But yeah, in others, they reorient, they find themselves, they find new hobbies, they find a life.
Or they start gaming,
or they start doing like an online fashion show with all the goofy things. That's a good Facebook group.
I thought that was so fun. Okay.
Yeah, social distancing fashion show or something like that.
Funny.
But it is fun.
That's cool.
Uh-huh.
So people are in their living rooms just parading or what?
Oh yeah, yeah. They're at home, and some of the outfits are just crazy, and some are awesome, and yeah, it's pretty amazing. You know, people are so creative when they just let themselves be.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of innovation happened as well. Even here at the radio station, where I was like, can people call in? And they're like, we don't really have the technology for set up for the phones and whatever. And then we had to do this show with phones.
Oh, yeah.
So they had to figure it out. And I would say that's an advancement, because it opened up the world to just, you know, people. We don't have to just meet in the studio here in Viroqua, you know.
Right.
I can call people from the other side of the world and bring them in.
Yeah. So. Or with Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Wish I would have bought stock in that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, I think Tony Robbins had the biggest Zoom thing ever, and I joined in on that one.
You?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So. That's an amazing, amazing tool, and everybody just embraced it.
Yeah.
So fast.
Well, they kind of had to, but also, it you know, it's fun. I mean, it's a cool thing, and it's a way for people to make, a lot of people made a lot of money mm-hmm. changing over to that and not having the overhead of an office or whatever. So
yeah.
Yeah. So this is Tatiana Katara, and you're listening to Conversations on WDRT 91.9 FM. We're streaming from Viroqua, and I'm in the studio with my friend Gail O'Mara Nielsen, who is a certified hypnotherapist, matrix energetic. Why do I always put that? Because we have that in common, matrix energetics. She's into evidence-based mind science, quantum biofeedback, mindscaping. We should probably talk about some of that if you're still doing all of that.
Heck yeah.
If you want to.
I do. Mindscaping, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a process created by one of my teachers, Mike Mandel. He's in Canada. Brilliant, brilliant man. And basically what mindscaping does, and I kind of think it's similar to a technique called image streaming that I learned many years ago too, but it's done in a light hypnotic trance. And the process is just imagining. I take a person through imagining. Say that we're in a landscape, right? It's a map. Mm-hmm. And we're in a map. Well, if you know where you want to go, then you need a map to get there. Mm-hmm. And you can identify on that map certain obstacles to your in your travels to get to where it is. And so it's a very specific map that I would create with a client. And then I talk them through it, and they talk to me, and it's really an interesting, from my perspective, I actually go there with my client. Mm-hmm. And so we're imagining, but they're telling me what they're experiencing, whether it's seeing or smelling or, you know, mm-hmm. feeling. And then it's their mindscape, so they can alter it any way they want. Mm-hmm. So it's really a metaphorical process that goes deep into our unconscious mind, because it allows the unconscious mind to understand better what we want. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we want our mindscape, which we live within, to be? What do we want it to look like? What experiences do we want to have? And it's a very powerful technique, because mm-hmm. everything can change after that. A person's entire life can change mm-hmm. just based on the changes that they've made within the mindscaping session.
Yeah.
So it's just really cool.
I had one of those with you.
We did, didn't we?
We traded sessions.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. And so, what was your experience of that?
Well, I don't really quite remember you know, I remember being in the chair and the map unrolled out from under me in all directions. Mm. And then you said something like, what do you see in front of you, or, you know, behind you, beside you, in front of you? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then a path, I guess, unfolds or whatever. This is what I remember. Mm-hmm. And whether it's mountains in front of you or... it reminds me of this thing I used to do with friends, and it wasn't mine. I didn't make it up. But it was like you're going down a path and you see a wall. What do you do? And you can go over it, through it, under, you know, break it down. Then you find find a key, and the key means something. I can't remember what it is. And then there's a cup, you know, and if it's broken or not. And there's a lot of symbolism in it. Do you ever remember that? Something about that?
I don't remember a game like that. There's been some like guided visualizations that I've gone to in classes that I've worked with psychics that are mm-hmm. Giving a class, and it's similar to that, where there's like a door uh-huh. and, you know, it's not necessarily a wall, but there's a door, and you can describe the door, or there's a number of different doors, and you go mm-hmm. through the door, and then there's experiences on the other side of the door, and it's all metaphorical like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's the metaphorical that allows access of possibility, even if it's absurd, into the subconscious mind, right?
Yes,
so that
right.
You can have that experience, because there's nothing to stop it when it's a some weird made-up thing.
Right.
But there's a connection to the reality you're in, and then things change.
They do.
Yeah.
Because we change them.
Right. Yeah.
It's like an access, a key to get into this secret control room
mm-hmm.
that we have, and you get to go into the control room and you get to change all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it can be bodily sensations, you know, mm-hmm. to get rid of pain. It can dissociate from that or change the temperature or, you know, whatever mm-hmm. experience you want to have, you can have it from within that control room.
Mm-hmm. So, I used to do hypnotherapy, and I'm saying used to. I used to always say I am a hypnotherapist, and I'll always consider myself that. But what happened to me was when I would do sessions with people, I was so familiar with accessing that state of being where I would start bringing in information about them. And it really kind of opened up my psychic abilities to a big extent. And then last year, something just blew wide open with crazy, crazy, accurate, amazing evidential stuff. And so I've branched out and been doing a lot of expos, like psychic fairs and stuff.
Oh, nice.
And having a lot of people come and see me and just come out, you know, with it, like, this is what I do now. This is what I'm doing. One of the things I do.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm finding is that most of the clients that I'm seeing are in a situation where they're leaving their job and they're wanting to step into that new thing like you were doing, where, like, give it to me now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are in the healthcare industry, mm-hmm. which is interesting, or the education industry. Where they have felt, and I hope I don't get in trouble for talking about it, but this is just my experience with these people, is that they feel disillusioned about or upset about how things have been handled on a bureaucratic level, or the politics, or the pressure, or the disillusion, I guess,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, they're breaking through and seeing what's really behind the curtain.
Right.
And so what I tell people who are in that situation is that your purpose is calling for you, and you can make it a tunnel that's long and dark and windy and scary, or you can make it a threshold and step into it, into the next room, and make it, it's just a doorway. It's mm-hmm. not a tunnel. Well, anyway, what I'm going with this what I meant to be going with it is, when you have been doing this work and you join in with these people, and so you're in a state of hypnosis as well, has that changed your intuitive and psychic abilities to a great extent in doing this work?
Absolutely. we all have them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we just don't acknowledge that. Typically it's conditioned out of us.
Mm-hmm.
By our educational system and everything else around us. But, I find that in a couple different ways. One of the ways, like I was talking about with mindscaping, was being able to be there with my client. While they're having this experience, I'm there with them. So even though I'm listening to them relate what they're going through, I pretty much have already seen it in my mind's eye, and I'm there with them
mm-hmm.
while they're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps me ask them the right questions, because I can see and hear the same things that they're experiencing in there. And the hypnosis, I think you kind of alluded to this, is just a tool for getting there. One of the other things that I have done since I was 10 years old is read tarot cards. And I absolutely love that. For me, that has been a direct link to my intuitive sense, to the collective, whatever that mm-hmm. is. It's been very accurate for me. And I really resonate with that. So I don't do it for clients. I haven't for many years. Mm-hmm. But I do it for myself and for friends, things like mm-hmm. that occasionally. But that to me is like my direct line into that, my mm-hmm. psychic abilities. And it's just truly amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also had training in remote viewing and remote influencing. I've taken courses in that and practiced that for quite some time. So, yeah, I feel when I need to tap into something, I feel I have the ability to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remote viewing, by the way, for people who don't know about it, was a first a government thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome to speak to it if you want. I just think, you know, people might not know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, remote viewing was done by our military, and the Russians had a program as well, and it was a very successful program, actually. Mm-hmm. And it is, you know, whether they call it psychic abilities or not, that's exactly what it is,
yeah.
Is developing that intuitive sense, but it's not putting any meaning with it. It's very important to remain neutral, and the less you know about the target that you're trying to find information on, the better, because then you can't be influenced.
Yeah.
So all you do is, and anybody can do this, you get a piece of paper and you just write down your impressions. You draw pictures or write down what it is, and you'd be amazed at how accurate you can be when you're viewing something that can be half the world away, or anywhere. It doesn't matter. Right. There's no space or time. And then the next step beyond that, of course, is to influence something or somebody remotely doing that. And again, that's the same thing. If you think about how we're all connected and at the quantum level or the collective conscious level, we're connected all the time. It's just that we need to tune the reticular activating system in our mind to filter out all the noise around us and focus on what is it that we want to view, what is it that we want to see or hear or experience. And then it magically is just right there. When you tune the noise out, then you get to what it is.
Yeah, I think about, I've been reading this book, can't remember what it's called, mind magic or something. It's the magic of it's the science. It's about the science of magic. That's not the title, but they talk about remote viewing and how you know they put they'll have double blind studies where they give somebody a number that's connected to an envelope that has maybe some pictures in it or whatever, and even the person putting the number in the envelope together doesn't know, like. There's so many levels of making it so that it's impossible for it to be manipulated or altered in any way. And it's amazing the power of that. And the studies that they've done on the power of healing, of praying over food even, it's just exponentially... beyond that without food that's been prayed over. And after I've been listening to all of these things and the guy talking about the studies, because he's a scientist, and explaining how they were done, it's like, wow, you know, when I see people praying over their food, I forget, you know, or I'm just like, oh, they're praying, you know, and I don't really remember myself to do that. But it's something we've been doing forever, and there's a reason for it. And turns out those people who ate that food had a different outcome than the people who didn't.
I think I know what book you're talking about.
Raiden, or what's his
name? Dean Raiden.
Yeah,
I read that.
That
was a very, very good book. And he made it very clear in there that this study's been out there for over 40 years, definitively.
Right.
The science is... You know, if there was any time to actually use that phrase, the science is settled, it would probably be here, even though I don't particularly like that, because if it's really science, it's never settled. That's the point of science. But, yeah, that was really an excellent book. I would highly recommend that to people. And it goes again to really what's the mechanism that makes that happen. So if somebody prays over their food, what is that? What's happening? And as we know, and Tesla said, everything really is frequency, vibration, and resonance. That's everything. And so frequency, that's why quantum biofeedback works. And you don't have to have somebody there hooked up to electrodes, because that spooky action at a distance that Einstein talked about operates all the time. We're all connected. There is a mm-hmm. medium called, they used to call it ether, the you know, mm-hmm. that transmits all this. And there's no transmission time because we're never separated from it. Mm-hmm. Again, we're just tuning into that channel, that frequency. Right. And changing the frequency changes the effects.
Yeah.
Very clearly.
It's kind of like the listener on the end of this, like you in particular, you listener that I'm talking to right now. You know, you don't see the wires going across the whatever, you know, we have cell phones. That seemed like such an impossibility, right? And
Star
now
Trek
it's like,
stuff.
Who doesn't have a cell phone?
Right.
You know, everybody has them and we believe in them because we have seen them work. But if you had two tin cans and a string, it'd be really hard to imagine how that could ever be possible.
Yeah, it's magic.
It is magic and science.
That's right.
Yeah. And science is, I mean, we see science, I see all these measurements of it, like we have a ruler and it has however many inches and everything is divided up and the clock and the time and, you know, these measurements to measure space and time, which are the only two things I know about the in existence is space and time, mm-hmm. And the matter, I guess, within it. And so these things are alterable. Everything is alterable by our observance of it. That's known. And so science is alterable. And I speculate that time is also alterable in the fact that I've had these experiences where one day is not like the other, even though incrementally the clock that I look at or hear ticking is counting out those sections and telling me, you know, oh, these are specific, fragmented, very measured sections of moments. But one day I'll get a ton of stuff done by 9 a.m. and the other day is gone. Mm-hmm. So what is it? You know, what is that? Is that?
Well, we measure time based on our cycles, right? The sun, the moon, the movement of things. Mm-hmm. It appears not to be random.
Yeah.
So what time is it on Mars right now?
I don't know.
Right?
I mean, how big is Mars?
Yeah.
It's a whole different timeline.
Yeah. I mean, really, it's meaningless. It is kind of an arbitrary way to measure the passage. There has to be movement for time. If there's no movement, there's no time. And that gets really deep down that rabbit hole.
Well, and would we age if we didn't have a concept of time, and we didn't have like the stone on our gravestone that says the moment we were born and when we died, with a dash in between? If we didn't have that and we didn't have life expectancy, how long could we really live? That's what I want to know.
Well, it's interesting. In the Bible, people used to live for thousands of years.
Yeah.
You know, and then hundreds of years. And then, you know, now we're lucky to make it to 100.
Well, maybe that explains that the world is growing. The Big Bang Theory, everything is expanding. So way back then it was smaller.
I don't know about that.
There were more turns. It turned around more times.
Oh, I think there's another big rabbit hole there.
Yeah,
where we
right.
talk about all that
I know.
Stuff.
And I'm just, I really don't know anything. I live my life speculating, really, and even though I seem to have opinions, I really try and remember that I don't, because this is just an experience, and I'm just a receiver of it.
Yeah. I do have opinions. I wish sometimes that they weren't quite so opinionated.
Yeah.
But I am open enough so they change, because mm-hmm. I always want to explore new things. And if I find something that directly contradicts an opinion that I've had, then it's like, oh, well, that's new.
Yeah,
I can think this way now about that thing.
Right.
And I like it when that happens.
Yeah.
I like it when I'm surprised. Mm-hmm. And this last couple of years, I've done lots and lots of research on many different things. And, you know, I've always been one of those people that is like way on the fringes as mm-hmm. far as the way I think about things.
Mm-hmm.
But even me, this last 2 years, I've been having experiences and finding out things that have blown my mind
oh.
wide open. And now And now I'm just like, whatever. Whatever. I don't know if any of that is real. I can't say that this is real or that this is real. I'm just going to wait and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's a good stance. So this is Tatiana Katara. You're listening to Conversations on WDRT. The time is flying. In the studio with my friend Gail O'Meara Nielsen. And you just have to tune back in and continue to listen. And if you miss it, you can find this in the archives. And they used to keep them for a week. Now they're there maybe forever.
Oh, really?
Theoretically, yes.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
And I can listen and see how silly this all sounds.
No, it doesn't sound silly. So in our last 20 minutes of this show, or 18 or whatever, I would like to turn it over to you if you want to share some of your mind-altering experiences, the mind-bending things, or upcoming projects or plans or whatever.
Yeah, well, mind-bending experiences. So I guess one of the, and I can't really talk a whole lot about it, but I do have a big project, and it's very dependent on funding, which I'm hoping that it will be fully funded very soon. And it's big, and it's lovely because it involves a whole bunch of other people that are healers and people that are looking to help other people. And the focus is being able to help other people with many different things and not having to charge them for it. Because this is the kind of thing that should be available to everyone. People should have physical, mental, emotional healing if they're open to that and if they're looking for that. Mm-hmm. Money should not be an object to that, an obstacle. It's just that is not, you know, in any good and free society, that's not really what I think we should be basing our decisions on, is whether we can afford to be healthy. As a human, we have a right to be healthy. So that's one of them. And then, of course, my my own thoughts came in, creeped in, and said, you know, this is a really big project, Gail. I don't really think that you're set for this, that you're equipped to do this. So that doubt just creeps in. And so then I kind of kicked it out, and I said to the divine, you know what? If this is meant to be, if this is meant to be my project, then I need to have a sign from you, because I'm kind of, my energy, my inertia is waning, and like doubts. I got doubts, and I don't want to have doubts. And then right away, it was like, okay, here you go. And this lovely location and possibility came up for this. That is like, oh my gosh, I thought I was going to have to build something, but now this would be the ideal location and property for it. And so that's one of the, you know, for me, that was very mind-blowing, because whenever I ask for a sign, I get a sign. And there used to be a lag in time when I would ask for a sign on something. I would have to, like, really kind of hang back and just pay attention to things around me to see what the sign is. But now it's just in my face, and it happens fast.
Yeah.
You know, in less than 24 hours, I usually get an answer. So there was two of those particular type of experiences that I had with this project. So I've been given really strong indication that, you know, that I need to continue to move forward with it. So I'm excited.
Yeah, good.
And of course, I want you to be a part of it too.
Oh, well, that's amazing. Okay.
Yes, we haven't talked about that, but we will.
Okay. Well, stay tuned for. Maybe we can do a part two when you get you manifest that and you have it in formation.
Absolutely, it'd be fun.
It'd
be a lot to talk about.
Yeah. All right. So what's right before I did my little last break for a minute. You were saying that this past year and a half or whatever, you've gone through a bunch of stuff and mind-blowing. Do you want to share some of that? Or
yeah, maybe a little bit, because a lot of it is very, it's so like rabbit hole-ish that it would be hard. But a lot of it has to do with the nature of our reality, mm-hmm. and what we really think it is. Uh-huh. And in my mind, the movie, The Matrix, mm-hmm. is a documentary. Yeah. Clearly. And in this last couple of years, that's really become even more clear to me. And I, one of the things, you're just going to laugh at this because this is crazy. You heard about the flat earth mm-hmm. people, right?
Right.
And it's like, okay, let's dive in there. It's like, what is making people think that the earth is flat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's crazy. And so I started digging into that, and I started mm-hmm. listening to some people that are very, very knowledgeable about a lot of different things. And I'm like, okay, whoa, all right.
Yeah, I looked at some of that because I like looking at what alternative stuff.
Oh, yeah. Like, I've looked at a lot of that stuff.
It's crazy.
It is.
But it's like, well, but now I see why some of them believe it, because they have a lot of
There's a lot of validity reasons. To, yes, to the science and to the experiences that some people have had. I mean, one was very, where the entire city of Chicago appeared across Lake Michigan to a city on the other side. And it's on film. And it's like, that's like 60 miles away. And it was right there. It was like, yeah. And
okay, what do you mean it appeared? Like,
it's like you're looking across a lake, but uh-huh. this lake happens to be Lake Michigan. Mm-hmm. And from a city on one side, you can see all the way across to the other side. Well, you shouldn't be able to do that. If the earth is round, like we're told it is, then the horizon drops off.
Right.
So it would be below the level of the horizon. There's no way that you should be able to see that at the same level as you're at. So at the very most, you should be able to maybe see some of the tops of some of the skyscrapers, right? Some of the very tall buildings.
I don't know how big and round our Earth is. You know, like if the Earth is smaller.
But the calculations are out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Or what we're told anyway. Yeah. I don't know anything, you know, but they are out there. Mm-hmm. You know, supposedly they've measured all this and we're told certain things and we learn it in school. And if mm-hmm. that's the case, I mean, if those are correct numbers, mm-hmm. then there's no way that that would happen. Okay. So that's just one example. However, I don't necessarily think it's a flat earth either, right? Okay. I mean, I'm not saying that we're on a ball of, you know, on a round ball hurtling through space at 666,000 miles an hour or something and spinning around and all this stuff, because, you know, that never really did make sense to me either. The science really doesn't explain how we don't all fly off, or how the water isn't, you know, how's it perfectly still? Any of those things. So I'm not sold anymore that we're on a globe, but I'm not sold on the idea that we're on a flat plane either. Mm-hmm. But I do know there are a lot of discrepancies, and you know, what about Antarctica?
Right. What about it?
Oh my gosh, well, we can't go there, right? Nobody can go, nobody's allowed to go there. And there's a lot of very interesting people that fly there, and uh-huh. and
my mom went there.
Did she?
Yeah.
Where at?
She went to on a science expedition, like a science ship.
Mm, okay, yep. Yeah, and I know that they have science. I know one of the engineers on a team there that takes ice core samples.
Yeah.
Scientists in teams where they put them there, they can go there, but you can't just go there.
Right.
You can't just take off and go there.
Well, why would you want to?
Well, not me. I don't like the cold.
Okay, because you might fall off the edge or what?
What's it? No. I don't know how much we can talk about this on the air, but it has to do with Operation Paperclip.
Okay.
You know, if you look into that in history and Admiral Byrd and all of the ships and planes that he took up there and the diary entries that he's made about things, there's a lot going on there.
Okay.
And And there's just a lot of discrepancies that I see between what we're told and what is really apparently the case. Like history, if you learn history, mm-hmm. then you can see that we're being told things that aren't history.
Yeah, even in the recent history.
Very much so, yeah.
Right.
So, yep, that's my Flat Earth story, and I'm sticking with it.
Well, did you get converted, or are you kind of like halfway, or what's your...
Oh, no.
It might be like a curly Q, or...
All it's making me do is question even more. No, I haven't made up my mind. I know, I guess it's the process of elimination. I can rule out what it isn't in my mind based on the facts I'm seeing and experiences, and but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know really weird things have happened.
Yeah. Maybe it's like the holodeck.
Well, you know, or like if we're in the movie The Matrix, right? If it's a documentary and everything is like the holodeck.
Yeah, it's just this weird phantom world.
Have you ever heard of the lunar wave?
No.
Okay, this is really cool. Go out and search on Crow 777 online and look up the lunar wave. This was years ago, and he's one of the first astronomy photographers that captured what is this wave over the face of the moon.
Okay.
And it looks like, to me, the first time I saw it, and I watched the documentary that he put out, and it's been replicated by others a lot now. So it's a phenomenon, and nobody's really come up with the answer for what is that, but it's something. And the first time I saw it, I'm like, oh, that's like a game resetting itself.
Oh,
like, you know how a game resets?
Yeah, right.
It's the wave that comes right across. Uh-huh. I'm like, well, this is all a simulation, and that's the simulation resetting right there. Uh-huh. But that was just a thought in my head. I'm not saying that I really believe that, but who knows?
The reset, the great reset.
The great reset. I don't know.
Yeah, like when they reset the server. And just everything kind of defrags for a second. If you don't, like a lot of people go, like, I'm going to bed, and they log out thinking they have to log out. What's going to happen? Put your horse in the stable, or whatever. And I just wait and see, like, what happens. And then I see it all defrag on my computer screen.
Yes.
It just turns into pixels of all the different colors. And
then
it
the next
refreshes.
Time you're on, it's just like you never left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You fall out of the sky, land in your place where you were.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of, it's an interesting way to think of reality.
Mm-hmm.
But I always like to say, what if? It's like that movie last night, The Wave.
Yeah.
It's like the lunar wave. Right. I mean, it was just like, it was like a wave
came
over him, and then everything was different.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. And don't get mad at us for talking about what shape the Earth is, because we're just curious beings who are contemplating and not afraid to discuss things that a lot of people would get really angry about.
Yeah.
And
why would people get angry?
About people question, because they want to be right. People want to be right.
They don't want their beliefs questioned.
Yeah.
And if they have to question their belief, then everything in their world might not be what they thought.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why you would get angry at the person who wants to explore that and discuss those things. If you're not interested in it, then go somewhere else and don't be involved in the discussion.
Well,
right?
That's true.
Yes,
I mean,
it is.
So there are a lot of people in the world right now who feel like they can't get out of the discussion because it is very serious, and it's and we're in it. But as more and more information comes out in all different directions, that challenges. And people have made serious investments of their bodies and their minds and their lives and their emotions and their selves and their families that makes it scary to look at the possibilities. So
very true.
It's understandable. I understand it, and I'm never, I'm not going to be mad at anybody for whatever decision they know they need to make for themselves. I just ask that I can also do that in
Absolutely.
Every aspect of my life as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. cognitive dissonance is never pleasant.
Yeah.
But this is the reality that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we've created this collectively, and it's something we have to deal with. But I think it's important to have compassion for people.
Yeah.
Like you just said, somebody who's in a state of cognitive dissonance is in pain. They're in mm-hmm. pain. And it doesn't do us any good to yell at them and tell them they're stupid or, you know, anything like that. Why would people do that? You know, we need to be understanding of that and be compassionate about that state of mm-hmm. unpleasantness that they're mm-hmm. feeling. I mean, if somebody gets ill,
yeah,
I don't blame them for getting ill. You know, I have compassion because they're ill and I'd like to help them. Mm-hmm. But if they don't want help, then, you know,
right,
then no.
Well, I like to keep in mind the power of the placebo and the nocebo, and that the power of our words, and when we're saying things, to just be really aware of what's coming out of your mouth, and that you are spellcasting and creating a world and a universe that is, you're contributing. Which side are you contributing to? Which wolf are you feeding, kind of thing?
Yeah. Let's create, use our intention and our energies to create the world that we want
mm-hmm.
and not focus on what we don't want.
Yeah.
That's all
exactly.
around us. Here
that's
we go.
True.
What
that's
do
true.
We want? Let's create that.
Yeah.
That's I what agree. I want to do. I throw all my energies into that.
Right. So we have 2 minutes left. In one of those minutes, I would love for us to, let's say an intention.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to?
Sure.
And then the other minute, I want them to have your contact info.
Okay.
All right.
So would you like me to create the intention?
Sure. Mm.
I'd like to create right now the intention, the beauty, the vision of the world of peace, of compassion, of connectedness, to everything and everyone, and to be able to tap into that power within each of us as human beings to create that world and be able to feel the peace and the potency in our humanity.
And for your words and our collective thoughts and all of the listeners and the power of this radio station and the antenna and the towers and the signal going out everywhere, that it goes beyond and is carried out on these airwaves to each and every one of you, that you may have health and vitality and love and peace in your life. Okay, and...
Let it be so.
Yes. This is Tatiana Katara. We're both like, we have tears in our eyes. I have body chills. And I'm in the studio with my friend Gail O'Meara Nielsen, and she is available... For
yes.
her services at where?
You can get a hold of me at, I will give my phone number,
okay.
608-386-7403, or Gayle, G-A-Y-L-E, at zeropointhypnosis.com. And you can check out my website at zeropointhypnosis.com. I also take online bookings there as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This has been great.
All right. Take care, everybody. Thank you.